Your Bibles, Luke chapter number 8. We can read in verse number 26. Lord Jesus is going to heal a man that was possessed with a legion of demons. The Bible says in verse 26 of Luke 8, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes, round about, besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Today I just want to preach a message simply titled this, Jesus Heals the Demon-Possessed Man. I'm encouraged as we study Luke chapter number 8. Last week we watched Jesus as he demonstrates his power over the winds and the waves. And today we watch Jesus, he demonstrates his power over the spiritual realm, demons, and Satan himself. Folks, I'll remind you that we live in a world that is full of the spiritual. The Bible says that we're to be sober, vigilant, for our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But we have to agree and accept the fact that the devil and demons are a thing that are a reality. I'm not one of these people who are looking for demons under every rock and Satan in every nook and cranny, but I'll have you know something. The Bible says that he is the prince and power of the air. The Bible says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Our biggest problem is not between other people, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And in this story, we're going to watch Jesus exercise his power over Satan and his demons. There's some things we can learn as we study this passage of Scripture. I have the privilege to preach God's Word. Jesus heals the demon-possessed man. The first thing I want to bring to your attention, number one, is very simple. The demon-possessed man. Let's look at this guy and see what's going on and see what we can conclude from God's Word that may apply to us. The Bible says first in verse 26, they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. He's from the Gadarenes, and that's why often he's referred to as the Gadarean demoniac. Verse 27, and when he, Jesus, went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. What we see and meet this demon-possessed man. Verse 27, the first thing you see is that the Bible calls him a certain man. Earlier in this chapter, we paid attention to that word certain because it's very specific on purpose, intentional. Something I'm encouraged about when I look at this certain man, the demon-possessed man of Gadara, I'm encouraged because he was somebody that the community had thrown away. He was somebody that society no longer cared about. He was somebody that was in the shadows and in the dark spots, and he was tucked away, hidden away, and a nuisance. But Jesus came after a certain man, a specific man on purpose, a man that everybody else would throw away. I want to encourage you today. You may be here and you say, no one cares for me. I'll have you know something. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. And he specifically wants to save you and be your Savior and begin a relationship with you and change your life. There's a certain man. The people who the world throws away are the same people that Jesus died for. I'm encouraged to watch Jesus on his trip to the Gadarenes. The first person he meets is a certain specific man that the whole community had cast aside. The Bible says, as we continue in verse 27, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time. Now this was a man that was possessed of devils. Is that possible, preacher? Absolutely, yes. Let me tell you who it's not possible for. It's not possible for people who are saved, people who have Jesus Christ as their Savior, people who are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. It is not possible for you, if you're saved, for me, since I'm saved, to be possessed by demons. But the devil is in the business of working and overpowering and ruling in people's lives. He'd had devils a long time. The Bible says next, and wear no clothes. Now, it's kind of interesting because what we're going to be able to see here as we look at this demon-possessed man and God's word describing this demon-possessed man, we're going to be able to see some characteristics of folks who are perhaps possessed by a demon. And one of the first things that jumps off the page that God wants us to know about somebody that is demon-possessed, they said, we want you to know about this Gadarene demoniac. He was a man that wore no clothes. It was something that was a byproduct of the devil possessing him that caused him to lose his sense of modesty, to lose his sense of decency, to lose his sense of order. You know that God is a God of order, and God calls on his people to do things decently and in order. And God is a God that teaches in his word and makes it plain that we as his people, we should be determined to live a modest, chaste, and holy life. One of the signs that the devil is at work is when folks start taking their clothes off in public. I'm not giving you some blanket statement and beating everybody down on modesty issues, but I'm telling you something. That the first thing that God wants us to know about this demon-possessed man is he didn't wear no clothes. And it was something that was appalling, it was shocking. It should stay that way in the hearts of God's people. God's people should be shocked by sin. We shouldn't judge and be unkind, but we should be appalled at when holiness and righteousness and decency is not upheld and right. He wear no clothes. The Bible continues. What are some signs of demon possession? Look at this next phrase. I think it's important you pay attention to it. He wear no clothes, neither, verse 27, neither abode in any house. Think about that for a minute. Neither abode in any house. A sign that this man was demon-possessed, God says, I want you to pay attention. This guy didn't wear clothes, and he didn't abide in a house. Now, what I'm about to say could be quite controversial, and I know that. I want to say it in the right spirit. I'll just tell you, my heart goes out to any people who are struggling and battling with homelessness. It's a real problem. It burns my heart. But I want to bring a point and show you something from God's Word regarding homelessness that needs to be considered. I have a conviction
that the gospel and Jesus Christ in many ways can solve and help homelessness. Or one, if you put Jesus first in your life, things get into the right priority. And when your priorities are right, you prioritize a home above other things, and things get in order. But here's a sign of that homelessness was an evidence of demon possession. 20-some years now, I've been working intimately with homeless communities and homeless people in Knoxville and Asheville and Chilhowee and Smith County. And I'll tell you, it's a really sad state of affairs when you meet up with people who they have no desire or yearning in their soul to provide for themselves shelter even. Sin. Lust. Trouble. Wickedness. Drives them. And I want you to know something. Satan, when he works deep in somebody's heart, he is not working to make them better. He is working to rob them of everything that's right and good. The Bible says that Satan is like a thief. The Bible says of Satan, his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. I'll have you know something. When the devil begins to work in the hearts of people, he drives them away from the stables, the stability, the things that are certain that give them stability. And he drives us away from the things that cause our society to thrive. I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason why there's a war against the home, against marriage. There's a reason why there's a war against God's Word. There's a reason why there's a war against faith in Christ. It's because the devil knows that those stables are the very thing that defeats him every time. The Bible said this demon-possessed man, he had no interest in home. The Bible continues, "A certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house." Look at the last phrase, verse 27. "But in the tombs." Where did you find this man? I'll tell you where you found him. You found this man in the tombs. You found him in the graveyard. You found him in the place where the bodies were buried. Now, this is interesting. Satan in his heart and life drove him to darkness. Now, my theology on death and cemeteries, it's rock solid. And I can walk through a cemetery and I'm not spooked or uneasy because some demon's going to reach out of the grave and grab me by the leg or something like that. But I've got something in me that doesn't want to be in dark places like that. If you say, "Hey, we're going to go camping in the graveyard," I'm going to tell you, you'll be going without me. I ain't going to do it. Something else I'm not going to do. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm not going to spend any time watching or partaking in things that are dark, satanic, demonic, cultic. The Bible says that we are to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. But I'm going to tell you something that happens. One sign that the devil's working in your heart is you have this desire for things that are dark. And this demon-possessed man, he said, "No way am I going to be part of a house. I'm not going to go to a house. I think I'll live in the tombs." Satan drives people to darkness. And look, we should not take lightly the truth that God shows in His Word. And we should beware and be warned. I'm just telling you, it's possible on a Sunday morning in a church like us that in your own heart, you're beginning to see the devil is working and driving you in a certain direction. He was driven to darkness. It was part of the possession. And God wants us to know. Verse 28, look what the Scripture says.
about the demon-possessed man. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." It's really fascinating. The first thing that this demon-possessed man says to Jesus, it's pretty important that we note it. I'll have you know, so I know for a fact that Jesus didn't get off the boat in the Gadarenes and walk up to the demon-possessed man and reach in his coat pocket and hand him a business card that said, "Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High God." This is an amazing thing that happens. This demon-possessed man, when Jesus came into his possession, this demon-possessed man saw Jesus and immediately he knew who he was standing in front of. He fell on his face and cried loudly, "Jesus." Do you know what the devil knew? The devil knew that Jesus was God's means of salvation. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And this demon called his name Jesus. You know what else the devil knew? The devil knew that Jesus Christ was God's Son. Not only did the devil know his name, the devil knew that this was none other than the Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High, Almighty God. You know, the Bible says in another place, you remember this? The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. Now, this testimony from this demon-possessed man and legion speaking out to him, man, it emboldens my faith in Christ, because I know that this Satan, that this satanic thing, this demon, recognized my Savior. Hallelujah. Not only does he say, call him Jesus, Son of God, Most High, he begs Jesus not to torment him. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Jesus, don't torment me. Do you know what the demon is admitting? He's admitting that Jesus has power and authority over him. I'm thankful that this demon knew that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whatever you do, don't torment me. You see, this demon-possessed man, he knew some things. He knew some things. The story changes. It's kind of interesting. The introduction has come and gone, and Jesus asks in verse number 30, "What is thy name?" He said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Verse 31, "And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep." Jesus says, "What's your name?" He says, "Legion." He says, "My name's Legion," because legion is a term that refers to many, many demons. He says, we're many demons. Call me Legion. And the demon asked Jesus, he says, "Please don't command us to go into the deep." Verse 31, he says, "Please don't command us to go in to the great abyss." First thought, I think he's thinking about in the deep blue sea, but I'm confident that it's that the place that God has prepared for Satan, his demons, his angels for eternity. They cry out to Jesus, say, "Don't cast us into the deep." And I'm going to tell you something, I don't know why Jesus didn't cast them into the deep, and I don't know why Jesus did determine to cast them into the swine, but he did, and he's Jesus, and he can do whatever he wants to, and I'm going to trust him. So the Bible says, verse 32, "And there was there an herd of many swine feeding." Now, this is a sign, things that were going on in this society. They had welcomed something that God had declared unclean. I'll tell you, there are a million reasons to be thankful for Jesus. And this is not the most important one, but this is really good. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, he split the temple veil in twain. And the Old Testament law in regards to what was clean to eat and what was not clean to eat, it went away. And when Jesus died on the cross, one thing that God gave us was the right and ability to eat pork. And all God's people said, "Amen for the bacon." Yeah. But in this era right here before Jesus had gone to the cross, a sign that you were Rebellion against God and Gentile was if you were raising herds of swine. The Bible says that there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they, the demon legion, besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. He allowed it to happen and sent them into the herd of swine. The Bible says, verse 33, what happens to the pigs? Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. I'm sure there's more to know about the swine and the connections to the swine and the demons and all this. But I think the thing that has made the greatest impression in my heart, Jesus cast that demon out of this man into the swine. And the demon shows to us his intention. The Bible says, I mentioned it once, I mentioned it again. The Bible says that God is our good shepherd. God is our faithful Lord, Jesus. But Satan is a thief. And Satan's desire, with all of his wiles, is to steal your joy, to steal your hope, to steal your future, to kill all of your hopes and dreams, and destroy everything that's good and right. And the intention of the demons on the life of this man of Gadara are cast onto the swine. And Satan does what Satan does. He stole them, he killed them, and he destroyed them. May we note, pay close attention, that that's what the devil wants to do. Look, you may be hearing you say, I'm really liking some of this cultic stuff. It's pretty awesome. You won't believe kind of the powerful things that we've embraced. We've begun to dabble into some dark things, into some Wiccan and cult. I want you to know something. If you found yourself starting down that path, run for your life. The devil uses the fulfillment of sinful desires as a means by which to trap people. And if you found yourself dabbling and partaking in sinful things that you think are going to make you happy, they may make you happy and give you pleasure for a season, but that's just a season. The goal of Satan is to steal, kill, and destroy. And if Jesus Christ hadn't shown himself real to this man possessed by a demon, that's exactly what would have happened. Jesus saved the day. It leads us to point number two. We move from the demon-possessed man to number two, the comfortable community. Now, it's kind of interesting what happens here because Jesus does amazing work, and as far as I can tell, a great service to the community. How many of you could imagine what it would have been like to live in this community where this demon-possessed man was that often, without clothes, would scream and cut himself and make himself known and shown all over town? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? It would be like torture to have something like that in your community. But look what happens. The Bible says in verse number 34, when they that fed them, when they that fed them saw what was done, they saw what Jesus did, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Here's what happens. They watched this happen, and these guys, they ran as fast as they could to the city and out in the countryside, and they told as many people as they possibly could. I want to park there just a minute. Do you know what people are really bad to do? Us people, we are really bad to gossip. You know, news travels fast. How many of you ever said, boy, news travels fast in a small town? It's true, isn't it? We've got a pillow that's on our couch, and it says, the good thing about living in a small town is if you don't know what you're doing, somebody else does. I want to remind you of something. It's not becoming of Christian people to be gossips. It's not becoming of Christian people to spread half-truths. It's not becoming of Christian people to belittle to hurt with our words people. It's just not what we should do. That's not Christ-like. May God protect us from it. May God guard us from it. Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me, he was a fool, because it's not true. Our words do great damage. And I'm reminded of the community when I see the chatter and the story spreading abroad, and the scripture continues, verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done. A great crowd of the community came to see what was going on. They'd heard that Jesus had done this work, and they knew where the Gadarene demoniac hung out. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. When I read that phrase, I'm like, praise the Lord. Now, often I think about this verse of Scripture. How many of you have verses of Scripture that come to your mind? And I think about this verse of Scripture. I think about this Gadarene demoniac. And I've quoted in my heart many times that he was seated and clothed and in his right mind. I praise the Lord for it. But I want you to see something that's very important to note. When I see this man that Jesus has changed, that Jesus cast the demon out, Jesus has healed, I see something that's exciting and wonderful, and I want to praise God for it. But what did the community do? A great group in the community gathered around, and when they saw the Gadarene demoniac clothed and sitting and in his right mind, you got to see it with me. Verse number 35. Verse, the last four words, you see it? And they were afraid. How did they respond to this man's life being transformed for the good? They were afraid. It scared them to death to see this man cleaned up. They were afraid. This isn't the only time that they were afraid. They were afraid. Again, look what the Bible says in verse number 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart. Who do they want to leave? They want Jesus to leave. They besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear and went up into the ship and returned back again. I want to tell you something about this community. The comfortable community. Do you know what this community had become comfortable with? They had become comfortable with wickedness. They had become comfortable with sinfulness. They had become comfortable with what was wrong. So much were they comforted and comfortable with the wicked that when goodness came, it scared them to death. It's sad to think that this whole community were comfortable and satisfied with a demon-possessed man and scared when he got right. Let me ask you a question. Are you more comfortable in the dark or in the light? Are you more comfortable in the sin or in the righteousness? Hey, let me tell you something. If it's more comfortable for you to be alone looking at pornography than it is to be in the presence of Christian people, I'm just going to warn you. You're going down a path that the devil applauds and is going to cost you. If you're more comfortable in a bar on Saturday night than you are with Christian people in a church on Sunday morning, beware. It's a sign. It's what Satan loves to do. Satan loves to get people so comfortable with sin and wickedness, the thing that's going to cost them everything, that when the light shines, it's like, oh my, oh, we're scared. Depart from us, Jesus. We don't want that. We can't have that. No. This community had got so comfortable with sickness, with wickedness, that when righteousness showed up, they asked it to leave. May we just be warned as God's people that that's not okay.
It's not right. It's not how God designed us. It's not what God wants, and it is definitely not what's best for you. The comfortable community, the whole multitude was afraid. They were scared to death when light shone. Finally, number three, the divine assignment. An interesting thing happens. Jesus actually, the story tells us that Jesus heeds their prayer and leaves. That's a scary thing, isn't it? But the Bible says it gives us insight into a conversation that Jesus and the Gadarene demoniac has. Verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done. He said, Jesus, can I be your disciple? Can I go with you? And the first time I read this, I think, well, Lord, why did you tell him no? And again, I point you to the fact that Jesus knows better than we do. Jesus said, hey, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to go back to your house. Evidently, this man had a family. He had folks and community that he could influence and people he could point to Jesus. And Jesus says, you go back to your own house and show them how great things God has done for you. And he did. The Bible says in the book of Mark, a parallel account of the same story, that he testified to his home, to his family, to his community. And the Bible says that everybody marveled. God blessed him. God used him. God gave him a divine assignment to reach other people. Oh, it's exciting. You know something comes to mind when I think about this man? For all these years, he neglected his duty as a Christian to represent Christ in his house. And God gave him a chance. So many times, I get the privilege to preach funerals. And so often it's sad to stand and preach a funeral of a man or a woman who their family have high hopes that they knew Christ by faith as Savior, but they don't know for sure. Because that person, for whatever reason, didn't find it important, didn't take the time to testify to what God had done in their hearts, to their house. Don't be one of those. Don't do that. If you are saved, the Bible says the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if you're not, get saved, get right. Lead the way so that your house, your family, and follow in faith, trusting in Christ as their Savior. God gave this man a divine assignment. Who knows how many years he neglected his house. But you know what I think is so sweet? On this day, Jesus said, listen here, buddy. Here's your chance. Go home. Go home. Tell them what Jesus did. Oh, what a great Savior. This is what Jesus did with the demon-possessed man in Gadara. But I can't help but believe that the Lord wants to work in our hearts through His story. As the Lord has spoken to your hearts, will you obey Him? There's sin that needs to be repented of. There's a move to tell others about Jesus that we need to follow through with. However God's worked in your heart, you obey in this morning.